Soleil. Hello, and welcome to Required Reading, the podcast that revisits the most impactful books from our childhood. I'm your host, Erin Bowles. I am a writer, actor, and comedian. One tiny bit of housekeeping. The podcast now has ads. Thank you for staying with that. We have earned in the last week of having this 40 cents. It's better than I expected. Our guest today is Maggie Winters. Maggie is a Chicago fried comedian turned internet personality, best known under the moniker Saggy Splinters. With training through both Second City and IO Chicago, Maggie quickly transitioned her talents from the stage to online, where she immediately amassed thousands of followers through her unique online characters. In the live space, Maggie is credited with opening for the likes of Colin Jost, Hannah Einbinder, Matt Rogers, and was named a Just for Laughs new face and Vulture comic to watch in 2023. In the TV space, Maggie can most recently be seen on season 4 of The Righteous Gemstones on HBO, opposite Adam Devine and Tony Cavallaro. Welcome!
Thank you. Oh my gosh. Yes, I like send that bio, and then when it's like actually being read, I'm like, this is like I should shorten it to something maybe a little short and sweet. Also, Adam Devine in it would be very funny. Or Adam Levine, I guess, is the Maroon 5 singer. He's an actor now, but that wouldn't be shocking at all. A lot of singers go acting mode, so
I just heard that Charlie XCX might be playing the witch in Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe.
what?
I don't know if that's true. If
Now
so, Greta
that's
Gerwig, what are you doing?
cool. I mean, is it the White Witch?
Yeah, the big one.
Damn. Damn. I was like, maybe there's another witch I don't know about right now. Oh my God. You really can't. You have to just be known and then you get everything else, I guess. This is crazy. Okay.
I
What if I was
mean,
like, oh, I just auditioned for that. I guess I'm not getting
yeah.
it.
Well, I did
No.
see the listing posted on Actors Access months and months ago for the main four kids, like authentic British accents only. And I was like, get out. I could be
Get
the little
lost.
12-year-old British starving boy.
You're
Ugh,
like, I could do
clearly
that.
not seeing the vision.
I'll shave my head. It'll work. Stop.
It'll work. I've
Thank
even
you for
tried
having me
Turkish
here. Also, I
Delight.
didn't even.
Oh my
Ooh,
gosh.
yes.
Thank you for being here. Our book today is from 1961 by Norton Jester with illustrations by Jules Feiffer, The Phantom Tollbooth. I read this book once when I was young because my dad loved it, and my dad is not a big reader. I remembered almost nothing except for the doldrums. That's where I learned that word. What is your story with this book? How did it first come into your life?
Actually in school, and I was trying to remember what grade it was, but I do remember I didn't read it when I was supposed to. That was the big thing, is that we were supposed to read it and I didn't, and then we had to do I think we had to do some sort, it must have been like sixth grade or fifth grade, because we had to do an in-class book report, and obviously mine was just like, I didn't read this. And then my teacher was like, well, now you have to read it and write another report. And then I remember reading it. I like called my parents, obviously. I wasn't a bad student, so I don't know why this happened. I just decided not to read it. I think it was maybe a over the summer book. But when I re eventually did read it, I was like, this is the most magical book. And I just remember thinking like, yeah, how magical it is and how it like hurt my brain in a good way. Because I was like, what the hell is anyone talking about? And I need more of it. And I wanted to like also go to these lands. I was like, I'm in.
And it's so funny that you did not read it or do the assignment because that feels so fitting to the whole
Yes.
book.
Yes. Yeah. The toll booth should have came right to my house that night.
The Phantom Tollbooth follows a little boy named Milo who's bored with everything, doesn't like school. A mysterious toll booth shows up in his house in a giant gift-wrapped box. He hops in his little toy car, he puts a little coin in, and he ends up in a magical world where the princesses of rhyme and reason have gone missing. They're trapped in the castle in the air, and he has to get them back because this place just doesn't make sense. And he learns the value of education.
Yes, and using your words and using your numbers even. It's crazy to me. I love like from the beginning, like he's so bored that when a toll booth is in his room, he's like, well, certainly this isn't real. I'm like, love. He's immediately like, this, I'm not gonna ask anybody about this. I'm just gonna assume this is just like a game. I'm like, okay,
Yeah.
good. And then he gets
It
He gets schooled immediately.
He really has sort of an attitude in the beginning of like, might as well, why not?
Yeah.
What
Yeah.
else am I doing today?
What else am I doing today? Yeah. I guess so. I have to become clean about something. Is that this time around I did listen on to the audiobook.
Hell yeah.
Okay, I just want to make sure that that's allowed. I know I'm usually like I like a solid book. I'm a book girl, but I just with time and life, I said I'm gonna audiobook it, and I did, and it was Rainn Wilson reading it.
Oh my
Isn't that
God.
wild? Yeah. So I
That's
have,
so crazy.
and there also was a note from the author. I know you're gonna talk about the author, so I can wait to say this part.
Go for it. It'll be a
Well,
good
the
transition.
okay, good. They do a little note from him where he's basically like, I wrote this book, but I don't think I'm an author. I'm an architect. He was like, if he said something crazy, like if you came to me on my deathbed and were like, what did you do with your life? I would say architect. And I was like, oh my God. Like he was, it just felt like he was like, I didn't want to fucking write this book. And I did. And here it is. No, he didn't hate it, but he just was so funny that he was like, I'm an architect, but I also wrote this. So he's basically bragging.
And what's wild is, and maybe I knew it when I was young, but I certainly didn't remember it. My dad is an architect,
Oh
and
my
my dad
God.
loved this book. So I, exactly, it was like, what the heck? You can sort of tell. Like, it's all about not necessarily like actual buildings, but kind of like world building and city planning. And
Yes.
it's so cool. His dad was an
Yes.
architect. His brother was an architect. He was an architect. And he started writing children's books when he was in the Navy, in the Civil Engineer Corps. He started in 1954 and he was bored. He was bored and he started writing kids' books. They reprimanded him. They're like, stop doing that. You're wasting
Yeah.
our time. And he made up a military publication, Naval News Service. Didn't tell anyone, but he did it so that he could interview attractive girls. And it worked. He did interview
Oh
attractive
my
girls.
God. Okay, he's a wild guy. I was saying he's clearly very smart. I mean, I know it's a
Yes.
children's book, but it's like a smart children's book, so.
Yeah. So he got discharged from the Navy. He's working in architecture. He's teaching part-time, and he rents an apartment with Jules Feiffer, the illustrator. And Feiffer is a Pulitzer Prize winner for cartooning. Guy
Wow.
is huge. He's considered
Wow.
at one point the most widely read satirist in the country. He's in the Comic Book Hall of Fame. He wrote an Oscar-winning short called Monroe. He wrote the screenplay for Popeye, starring Shelley Duvall and Robin Williams.
What? Wait, like you can draw and you can write. This is too many people with too many talents, and I don't, this is making me frustrated with myself.
The year before this was published, book comes out in 1961. In 1960, Norton Juster gets a $5,000 grant from the Ford Foundation to write a children's book about cities. And in his proposal, he says he wanted to stimulate and heighten perception to help children notice and appreciate the world around them. And then I think he's like getting really frustrated. He's like got writer's block or something. And he like cooked the meals in the apartment. So the only way that the illustrator could like get dinner is if he starts illustrating stuff for Jester, the author, to like help him come up with ideas and work together. It sounds like this apartment was crazy.
Oh my God. He's like, I'm hungry. And he's like, well, I need you to start drawing immediately. Like, and then I'll start cooking. And oh my goodness. It sounds manic.
Exactly. I think it started like Jester was on the upstairs floor and trying to write, and Jules Feiffer comes up and he's like, I hear your pacing.
Hi, I'm Darren Marlar, host of the Weird Darkness podcast. I want to talk about the most important tool in my podcast belt. Spreaker is the all-in-one platform that makes it easy to record, host, and distribute your show everywhere, from Apple Podcasts to Spotify. But the real game changer for me was Spreaker's monetization. Spreaker offers dynamic ad insertion. That means you can automatically insert ads into your episodes, no editing required. And with Spreaker's programmatic ads, they'll bring the ads to you. and you get paid for every download. This turned my podcasting hobby into a full-time career. Spreaker also has a premium subscription model where your most dedicated listeners can pay for bonus content or early access, adding another revenue stream to what you're already doing. And the best part, Spreaker grows with you. Whether you're just starting out or running a full-blown podcast network, Spreaker's powerful tools scale effortlessly as your show grows. So if you're ready to podcast like a pro and get paid while doing it, check out Spreaker.com. That's Spreaker.com.
It's driving me crazy. What is going on?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I love this. It's like such a backstory to such a magical story.
Some other things that were happening in 1961, just to sort of set the stage. JFK enters office. There's the Bay of Pigs. There's the Red Scare. There's the space race. Kendall is introduced.
Ooh.
And construction begins on the Berlin Wall. To set this a little bit, that's where we are.
Thank you. Yes. If you would have said, like, what's one thing that happened, and I would have been like, I don't know. The book came out. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, there was something about reading this that I kept having to remind myself that it's an American book, which I still can't quite explain.
You would not think.
No.
You almost might think it's like translated because it's just so, or like a British book, I guess. Mm-hmm. Not translated, but you know. Translated from British. No.
Yeah. Well, I believe it.
I would too.
Actually did believe it. Yeah.
1000%. I just remember when I actually read it, I was so mad at myself as a child because I was like, I actually like this book. And I told my parents, I was like, I actually like the book that I didn't read that I now have to read. And they were like, great. Like, you should have read it when you had to, honey.
What were some of the parts that you remembered? Why did you sort of like want to come back to this book? Did you read it more than just that one time?
I don't think I did, unless I read it like back to back, but like I never, mm-hmm. And I swear to God, I was like, I want to read that book again, but I have such like I get books for Christmas and you're like, so you know, you just like have a stack and you're like, I shouldn't buy a new one. I should just read the ones I have. But I just like remember like when you asked, I was like, that was like a book that I like that stuck with me. Like, I just remember being so obsessed with the world and the kingdom and like all the little characters and like rhyme and reason. I was like, those are my girls for life. I actually was like, if I ever had a girlfriend, maybe we could be there for Halloween. I don't know.
Oh my God.
Even though they're twins, whatever. I even like love Milo. Like, sometimes in books, the main character gets like, he's not the one, you know what I mean? In an adventure book like that. Mm-hmm. But you really love Milo because he's like, even when he's bored at the beginning, I'm like, yeah, maybe he is. Maybe there's not a lot going on, but he really takes all the lessons to heart in this book and you take them with him. And you take them with him. That sounded wrong for some reason.
Yeah, Milo gets in this toll booth, ends up, I mean, he goes, there's a beautiful map. He goes through a lot of different places. But the sort of two lands are ruled by these brothers who can never agree. There's Dictionopolis, which is all about wordplay. Mm-hmm. And Digitopia, which is all about numbers. And it's just so fun. I think there's like,
yes.
I loved the way he said that, like, in proposing this book, which I didn't learn about this until last night, it's about helping kids, like, notice things, appreciate the world around them. And I definitely noticed it's just, like, it's encouraging you to question things and just say, like, well, why do we say that phrase? Why do we do that?
In, like, a world right now where we're so, like, on our phones and everyone's, like, scared. And I just feel like it's, like, I know this is at the end, you're going to ask me if it's required, but it's just like an important book. I'm like, even like I have nieces and nephews and like, obviously they're obsessed with like TV and Paw Patrol. And I'm trying to like live in boredom, which living in boredom is really just noticing your surroundings as we learn. So it's like, even my nephew, like when I turn off the TV, he's like, gets upset for like 5 minutes. And then he starts like, he's like, oh, there's my dinosaur on the floor. Oh, there's this. And then I like watch him and then I'm like, oh, look at this. Like, thing I've been wanting to do, or like that I've been staring at. I'm like, after 5 minutes of staring at the wall, you start moving on to little things, like, and that's, I think, exactly like what the book ingrains in you. Like, ingrains. Okay, thank you.
Yeah,
I was like, ingrains. Did I make it up?
No, you're right. You're there.
I do that all the time, where I'm like, I say a word, and then I'm like, this. I belong in the kingdom. I could be like, girl who thinks she makes up words. I don't know what the name for me would be, but.
There's the spelling bee. He immediately arrives,
Yes.
and there's a word, like a word market. And if you can't afford the words, you can go to the letter guy and make your own
Yes.
words. It's just so well thought out and fun. There, any idiom you can think of in the English language is in there. I
Yes.
wanted to ask, like, what your favorite like joke, handful of jokes are, because I think mine is they're in Dictionalis, like all of these dukes hop in like Milo's teeny tiny
Yes.
car, and Milo says something like, well, how is it gonna drive with all these people in it? And they go, well, it goes without saying. And then the car starts
Yeah.
driving.
And then the car starts driving.
So
Yes.
funny.
Yes. I don't even know if this is a joke, but like I kept thinking about the when they go to the numbers digit type digit and
Digitopia,
Digitopia, right? Okay. They go to Digitopia and when they eat and they're like, why are we so hungry still? And they're like, you eat to get hungry, and then or like you eat the numbers, right? And then you're like starving. And then they're like, we ate 23 rounds of this. Like we're absolutely famished. And they're like, yeah, that's how it works. And I was like, oh my God. Like, oh, and you know what? When they go there and they're like, do you have any rubies or emeralds or diamonds? And they're like, yeah, we don't know what to do with them. They're just like, we hate them. We pile them up. And the humbug's like, whoa, what? I'm like, yeah, it's not important to them, just numbers.
Yeah,
And obviously
there,
all
and I'm
the demons really like on all their little, I'm thinking of a million things. And the guy who's just one guy, but he's like, I'm the fattest, skinniest guy in the world.
No, I'm so glad you're mentioning, because like there are so many fun and memorable characters, and my favorite part,
Yes.
one of my favorite parts, it's like in any story, is at the end there's a party and everyone you ever met in the book comes to the party, and you're
Yes.
like, oh, that guy and that guy and that guy. I love it. The
You get a
two you
little
mentioned,
summary.
yes, exactly. You the friends you met along the way.
Ugh.
I love it. I love it. But you mentioned the humbug. Our two main supporting characters that come along the journey are Tok, who's a watchdog, who's a dog with a
Yes.
giant watch in his side, and the
Mm
humbug.
hmm.
I love them.
I love them too. I love Tok's origin story, how he makes ticking sounds, but his name is Tok because they misnamed his brother. And then they're like, and he's like, and then they never had kids again. And I'm just like, okay, sad as hell, but because when they misnamed their kids, they're like, well, we're done. It was funny too, because in the reading of it, Rainn Wilson, like the humbug and Tok had like not the same voice, obviously, but very similar like do to do voices. And I was like, sometimes I'd be like, wait, who was talking? And they'd be like, the humbug. And I'd be like, okay, this makes sense. I mean, as you read as the book goes on, you're like, this is who would say that. Like you know what's going on. But at first, I was like, I need to call him about some acting stuff right now. No.
He has other talents, maybe not the
Yeah.
book narration.
Like, I mean, you have to do a lot of voices in that book, so I guess I give him credit for that.
That's
Yeah.
true. There is the man who lives in a house with like four doors, and one is like giant, one's a fat man, one is the skinny man, and it is like, we'll go to the store and it'll be like the skinniest fat man in the world and the fattest skinny man. Milo gets frustrated because it's all the same man at every door, and he says like, don't you get it? I'm ordinary and nobody needs
Yeah.
an ordinary guy. Don't blow up my spot.
He's like, dude, chill out. You're gonna ruin what I'm trying to do here. Which is like good for him. Yeah. I love it. He's coming up with things that people don't think about, and I appreciate that. I'm gonna start calling myself. I'm gonna be like, I am the most beautiful, ugly person in the whole world. And people will be like, what are you talking about? And I'll be like, exactly. Correct.
The wordplay is just like infinite. I know that when I was reading, and I think this happens all the time in discussion of this book, the whole thing I kept thinking about Mostly Land, which I've never read, and Wizard of Oz, which I am a huge fan of.
Yes,
And I
the
think,
little cities and towns and
yes.
worlds, yeah.
And that I love Wizard of Oz, hate Alice in Wonderland, even though I haven't like read it. I just the iterations in the movie, and I know the gist of it.
Like Alice. I haven't read the actual book, but I loved the movie growing up. But I also
What do you
was
love about
like,
it?
it gives me like the same feeling of just like when she eats the cake and gets big and then takes the cake and gets small. Like I always like would think about that. Like change can just happen like immediately and magically, and the tea by mom.
Hi, I'm Darren Marlar, host of the Weird Darkness podcast. I want to talk about the most important tool in my podcast belt. Spreaker is the all-in-one platform that makes it easy to record, host, and distribute your show everywhere, from Apple Podcasts to Spotify. But the real game changer for me was Spreaker's monetization. Spreaker offers dynamic ad insertion. That means you can automatically insert ads into your episodes. No editing required. And with Spreaker's programmatic ads, they'll bring the ads to you, and you get paid for every download. This turned my podcasting hobby into a full-time career. Spreaker also has a premium subscription model where your most dedicated listeners can pay for bonus content or early access, adding another revenue stream to what you're already doing. And the best part, Spreaker grows with you. Whether you're just starting out or running a full-blown podcast network, Spreaker's powerful tools scale effortlessly as your show grows. So if you're ready to podcast like a pro and get paid while doing it, check out Spreaker.com. That's Spreaker.com.
It has like a painting of, or it's like woven of the tea party, like from the main book. And so it's like scary because it's like how they looked in that first book. So like they kind of look a little vintage, a little scary. But to me, I'm like, yeah. And it's like a druggy book. Like you're yes. like, you know how people say Winnie the Pooh is like all based on drugs or whatever, but I'm like, Alice in Wonderland, definitely, come on. And the Queen of Hearts, I mean, no one's doing it like her, just getting pissed off for no reason.
Yeah. Yeah, I think like my frustration with Alice in Wonderland is, I mean, I think I'm like, this will connect. I was at a meal with my boyfriend and his family. We had seen the new Wes Anderson movie, and his brother was like, I don't really like Wes Anderson. He's like, too cutesy. You're saying Wes Anderson is too Wes Anderson. Like, you're drinking milk and saying, I don't like milk. Here, there's like, we have a clear goal to get rhyme and reason. I think that's very similar with The Wizard of Oz. And there's a definitive ending. Milo has to learn something, and he learns that even though he doesn't understand why he's learning these things, there's an importance to it, and you will one day.
You're totally right. Yeah, Alice is just falling down a hole and doing we don't know. Like, she's just rocking and rolling. But yeah, this has a point. We have like a mission. We have a journey to go on for a reason. Alice is just like, let's see what happens next.
I think also Alice in Wonderland stressed me out. Yeah. The Queen of Hearts, like, she's scary.
You were
touching that about, like, that's something appealing to some kids, and I was not that kid.
She was not rational by any means. Like, and like, yeah, when you painting the roses red, like, it's just like, and you're just like, why can't they just grow red? And it's just like, that's the point of the book. Or the I actually watched like a spinoff of Alice in Wonderland called Adventures in Wonderland. It was like a girl who went through a mirror. It was like modern day, and it was like in the 90s, and she like went through a mirror, and it was like Alice in Wonderland again. And I remember being like, I wish I could go through my mirror. No dice. Never worked.
I did like consume a lot of Alice in Wonderland inspired media.
Did you ever read
a YA book series called The Looking Glass Wars?
No, I did not. Oh my God.
I was really, really into it. And it's very, like, edgy and political intrigue. And
okay.
Still, like, for, like, middle grade readers, but very...
Yeah, still, yeah.
I was very into that.
Oh, my God. No, I did not. Maybe I was... Again, I was, like, a bad high school... No, I wasn't high school, grade school reader. What the hell was my problem?
But do you think the book, like, taught you the lesson of... Maybe I should actually read stuff.
Yeah, 1,000%. And sometimes, like, I wouldn't say I'm an amazing reader, but I'm always reading a book for sure. And sometimes it's funny, like, when you're reading a book you don't like, you're like, I don't want to read. And then when you read a book you love, you're like, reading is the best thing that's ever happened. And you're like, oh, yeah, you just have to like the thing. Like, I don't know what you're like. But I also have the thing that many people have where, like, I have to finish a book, even if I'm not liking it. We just have to finish it. We have to say we did it, even if it's tough. Even if you know what's coming, we have to finish it. But it's funny to remind myself, like, I'll read a book I love and I'm like, I should be doing this nonstop. And then the next book is like horrible and I'm like, this is painful.
Yeah. You have to like be reminded of the power of imagination and wordplay. And it's so, like, I'm so glad this book exists because it is just like, this is a book you can pick up and be like, oh, reading is fun. I was Milo and now I get it. And I have come to the same conclusion Milo has. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Maybe I'll, like, you know, in a couple of years, actually, like, go back and read it in the book and not do the Audible audio. No free advertisements, Audible. Because it's just like a different, because you know, you have Rainn Wilson, it's a very specific sound, very specific. Not that he did a great job, but yeah. And when you read it on your own, it's even, obviously, we all know this. And this, I'm just going to say this because this is the place to say it, I think, is like, we need to stop, people not need to stop being like, well, the book was better. It's like, it's always better. If the movie's better than the book, it's like, then maybe say that, like, for the first time, this movie was better. But when people are like, they just want you to know they read the book. They just wanted to tell you that they read the book. You're using your own brain and your own imagination. The movie can't do that for every single person who's. It's like, I don't know why it like pisses me out. People are like, well, actually, the book was. I'm like, of course it was. Now shut up.
Absolutely. Even like the illustrator of this book said, like, there were some scenes where I didn't, like, you couldn't visually depict this. Like, I didn't know how to do this because it ex like it exists in your mind. And I think the illustrations, so I think Juster, the author, had not read Alice in Wonderland, but I think Pfeiffer, the illustrator, did take inspiration from some of those
Oh,
illustrations
nice.
and just like
Okay.
some of the style. I think
Yeah.
they really remind of like some of the roll motions of like it's all sort of like pen and very scratchy and sort of like a child could do it, but not in an insulting way, like a very
Yes,
just approachable.
I that's what the tough part about an audiobook too is the only thing I saw is the cover, which is, you know, Milo and Tok. So you miss out on that, which is just another. I'm like putting down the thing I did. I'm like, don't do this. Don't read the book. They are good when it's like time is of the essence.
Certainly.
So he didn't read Alice in Wonderland because they have very similar, like walking into a space and someone immediately is talking at you, no explanation, like, and or sometimes the explanation would come in like 5 minutes in, like they'd be like, and what, who are you? And they'd be like, oh, clearly, and it's like. And that's how it is in Alice in Wonderland. They're like, you're late, like sit down. And she's like, what? And they're like, just sit the hell down, girl. Like, Milo, get in here. Yeah. I really love the thought about her a lot. What is her, the sound woman, the woman who kept all the sound.
There's a woman early on in Dictionopolis who I think has a similar thing of like, if for the sound woman, it was like her job to catalog all the sounds and people stopped
Yes.
being appreciative of the sounds. So
So
she's
she
hoarding
stopped them
them.
all. Yeah. Milo goes in and then he can finally hear his voice. He's trying to steal the a little word so they can shoot it at the, which was smart
Yeah,
of them.
he passes a bunch of people who are silently protesting, and they say, like, if you go into her like file system and you bring us a
Yes.
sound, just one little sound, and we'll shoot it out of a cannon, and then we'll all have sound.
He's about to say the word but. But he closes his mouth, so it's like his own word because it's in there. Yeah, which is so cute. And that was funny. Like that part was like stressing me out. I was like, just steal something. What's going on? And it's like, I really felt like I was there. I was like, somebody grab something. Like we need to help these people out. Oh, yeah.
And even there, it's like her fault is wanting people to be more appreciative, and that speaks to
Yes.
like the essence of the book is like love. Milo gets back to his bedroom and is suddenly like living in that boredom, and he's like, now all of these things interest me because I have
Yes.
like been to the crazy place. Now I see the fun in what I already have.
Well, it's so cute when he's like, "Oh, I want to go back, but actually, I'm so busy." Like when you're like, "I actually couldn't if even if they invited me because I have so much to do." And I was like, "Yeah." Like when you're like, "I don't want to be invited to this party, but it, you know, even if they did, I'm already busy. Like I can't actually go. It's like I just want the invite." It's very sweet.
It's such a sweet book. He like gets to the princesses, Rhyme and Reason, and he says like it's been such a long trip and I made so many mistakes, and they say like this is the whole theme of the book, which I love. You must never feel badly about making mistakes as long as you take the trouble to learn from them. For you often learn more by being wrong for the right reasons than you do by being right for the wrong reasons.
See, those girls are the ones.
They make a lot of rhymes and a lot of reasons.
They make a
They really
lot of rhymes and a lot of reasons.
do.
And kicking them out of the kingdom was. And this is, again, a story about how men consistently fuck up. No, I'm just kidding. When you kick two women out of the world, it's going to go bad.
It's two brothers and two sisters, and the brothers never agree, so the sisters have to make them agree. And then the brothers like banish them because they're still against each other. And the only
Yeah.
way that Milo can get them is if the brothers agree, and he tricks them into they can agree on the fact that they'll never agree about anything. It's all
Yes.
riddles. I love it.
It's a lot of riddles, which, like, if you were to like come up to me and be like, "Do you like riddles?" I'd probably be like, "No." And then when I read
No.
this book, I'm like, "I love it." I guess it's riddles in a specific way, like riddles that not my dad's doing, because when he does riddles, I'm like, "Shut
Yes.
up. Get lost."
I think there has to like there's a story behind it. I'm like excited
Yes,
to find out. They're taking me along rather than just pointing a gun at me to figure it out, you know?
That's was so triggering when they're trying to get to when they're trying to figure out how far away they have, and that little guy
Yes.
comes in and is like, and he like does basically a math equation, and I was like, this is the most triggering, like if you have 16 apples on a car, I was like, no. And the humbug's like trying, he's like, oh, 17, and they're like, that's there was not a number, was not the answer. Like, so funny.
I found myself even reading that, and I think Milo's doing it too. I'm just like, get through.
Yeah.
Come on, man. I can't just get
Yeah.
it over with. It's so true.
Somebody make a decision, because this is hard. I don't like this. And Tok has a big hero moment in this when he realizes he can fly. Time flies.
Because time flies. And he leaps out of this castle in the air, and they're all holding on to him because they do go up through a mountain. It's called, I think, the Mountain of Ignorance, full of
Yes.
demons, chock full of
Full of
demons.
demons. And the first demon is the one that they think is a sweetie pie, but then they're like, he's like, can you pick up this sand with a tweezer?
Tweezer?
And that's when I said, something's
Yeah.
wrong. Something's up with this guy, because this is not looking good.
Yeah, it's that and. The humbug has to like drill a hole in a mountain with like a pin.
It's gonna, what did he say? Like, it's gonna take 800 years. I was like, And even though the next guy was like, who told them to run was also a demon, I was like, he did get him out of there. I don't know.
He did.
He did get him out. So it's funny because, like, the demons come and you're I like forgot what they were going to be. And I was like, of course they're like, where do you guys, you know what I mean? They're not going to be just like monsters. That would take like a hard turn if the but they're like, they're demon, they're red monsters, they're the devil. I'd be like, wait a second.
Yeah, they're at least with that first one, it's sort of it's all like very gentle lessons. It's like beware
Yes.
of, you know, mindlessly spending your time, even if you're trying to help. Like you can be doing the right thing and suddenly just be like, this actually is not getting me anywhere, and maybe I need to
Yeah.
readjust.
Yes. You think you're helping somebody, but you're not. They're tricking you. 800 years, honey? No, thank you. I don't have time for that. And then it's funny in my mind, like reading that, and I'm like, they should just scoop the sand up. I was like, wait, they should just use their hands. And I was like, yeah, that's not the point. The point is, like, stop. I'm like immediately thinking of ways. I'm like, how do I help them out? Silly brain.
Did you have like a favorite part or a part that maybe I already asked this that was like the most memorable or that you were like eager to come back to?
I really think I thought about the sound woman a lot, like, because she was so proud of every room and everything and every file, and then even when she was like, when she learned her own lesson of like, oh, I guess you couldn't know what a beautiful sound is if you didn't know what a bad sound was. And it's like, yeah, girl, that's what everyone was trying to say. She was like, oh, her, like, I just imagined like a beautiful like castle where she just like kept all this stuff. And like, and then also really beautiful is her explaining the silences and how they're important. And that goes back to me being like, sometimes we need to like turn off the TV and stare at the wall. Like, and in those silences, like things come up. Like, I start bawling my eyes out, and no, I'm just kidding. It's just like really important. Like, yeah. And like, and
It's
she even had
like
like a few examples, and I was just like, oh my God, this is so nice. Like, she's so right.
I love an extremely detailed filing system that just spoke to me very
Ugh.
deeply.
I could like picture the brown envelopes, and like, and when she gives them one at the end, or when they leave, and she's, what was your favorite or your most memorable part, do you think?
Oh gosh, I don't know if it's my favorite, but I really liked the little police officer in the very beginning, Short Shrift. There's just
Yes.
like a sense of there's something about like the rhythm to that humor where it's just like joke, 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 the end, moving on to the next room, where like
Is
you
that the
don't
one that
even
puts them in jail?
yes, he's
Yeah,
like
he like changes his jobs.
Yes, as it goes. And he's like, Milo, where were you on the night of July 27th? And he's like, what does that have to do with it? Well, it's my birthday. That's what. Forgot my birthday. Oh, add that to the list of crimes.
Yes. And it adds in when the when he's in the in there with the witch, he's like, well, we have to stay in here, and she's like, he's joking, he doesn't care, get out. Like, he's like, asks her, she's like, no, he doesn't really care about this, like, just leave. I'm like, girl, okay, thank you,
And then they leave, and she's like, no, I'm okay, actually.
I'm absolutely chilling. Yeah. And but you know what, we know from, because we finished the book, that soon enough Rhyme and Reason will come back and help her out,
Get her out of there.
get her out of there.
I like the last thing on short shrift. He's like, and now it's time to sentence you. I'm also the judge. Would you like a long sentence or a short sentence? And Milo's like, a
Yes.
short one. He goes,
I
good.
am.
That's the shortest sentence I know.
I
That's
am.
it.
Oh my God. So sweet. So good. And I just love that you, yeah, you don't know what's, you know what, like sometimes what's coming, but you don't know, no, you know, it's such a fun book.
Yeah, it is. Or like, you don't know how it'll, the specific mechanism of the whaticism, I don't know, but it just,
The
it really,
whaticism, exactly, yeah.
it makes you excited, I think. Yeah, just to like exist in the world and imagine and enjoy.
Yes, 1000%. And it also, like, I relearned the lesson of the whole book. Like, I was like, okay, yeah, there's things to learn and there's things around me, and I need to, like, remember that when I'm like, there's nothing to do. It's like, there's actually so much to do, always. Someone once said, like, and I don't know where, so don't, I, like, the boredom is like a privilege, because it means like if you've gone through all your options of things, it's like, but also we know, yeah, it is a privilege. Like, boredom, me trying to explain it to a child, I'm like, boredom's a privilege. They're like, what? Turn on Paw Patrol. Shut up.
That's true.
Yeah, they'd be like, Sh what are you talking about? Me trying to hold my nephew and say that, and he'd be like, shut up, get lost. Oh my God.
Man.
I love that you brought up Alice in Wonderland, because to me, it really, like, those worlds are like so similar. But you're right that, like, one has a goal and one is just a free for all. Shout out to that. But I guess in reading The Phantom Tollbooth, we have to realize that Alice in Wonderland, like, there's always something to do, right? Like, she, so I guess it doesn't have to be an end goal. Oh, well, this is complicated. I don't know. Yeah, I'm making shit up at this point. I'm just like, actually, let me say, let me.
I will say I love that one character is named the Mathemagician. I just
The
love that.
Mathemagician. Yeah, he's the other brother, right?
Yes,
Yeah,
yes.
yeah.
And it's him and King as Izzy
As, yeah.
Izzy.
As.
Classic.
AZ, AZ to AZ. Perfect. Yeah. And then I love that they start arguing again at the end.
Yes.
And they're
Yeah, and
like,
Milo's
you
sort of like, I
crazy
gotta go.
guys. Yeah.
Yeah, I
You
can't do
guys are nuts.
this.
Yeah. Rhyme and Reason are like, damn, we're back, aren't we? Damn,
Damn,
we
we're right
really were
again.
resting for a while and now we're back. Castle in the sky.
Well,
And they're like, oh, the castle in the sky is leaving. And they're like, it's a prison. We need to go. I'm like,
it's
Talk's like, wait,
okay
where's it going? They're
if
like, that's gotta go. That was our prison. She's like, okay, yeah, no
it
problem. Don't save that.
Would you consider it required reading?
Absolutely. Okay.
Hell
And
yeah.
if you don't read it and then you have to do a book report, then you better read it, okay? Or else you're gonna get in trouble. Required.
Oh man. I bet your teacher was like, oh man, I'm upset she didn't read it, but she's gonna have the most applicable reading experience.
She's going to talk about this on a podcast one day. I know I'm going to change your life.
Shout out to
Oh
that
my God. Shout out. I
lady.
wish I remember. Yeah. I wish I remembered anything, but
Well,
yeah.
you remembered this.
You're right. You're
Is there
right.
anything you'd like to plug now that we're done?
Okay, cool. Yeah. So if you're listening in Nashville, I'm doing a show on September 7th. Or if you're listening in Dallas, I'm doing a show on September 21st. Otherwise, I'm on tour with Connor Wood, aka Fibula, from the app TikTok. And shout out to Milo. I hope that he's doing well. I
Me
hope he's never
too.
bored. Yeah.
Oh, I know he never will be. Or the
Never
toll booth
again.
will show back up, you
And he'll
know?
be like, damn, I've been taking
Oh.
things for granted.
All
Thank you so
right,
much for
well,
having me. This is so sweet.
thank you.